That's right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You had me, Reginald Atitula. We have Byron Matthews in hanging out in Figgy Figstead as he moves into his first home. Yeah, he bought a house, and today is moving day. And so thoughts and prayers for our guy.
And all that entails. Mm-hmm, God, that's the worst. Especially when you start moving your kids and they're in college and you move them every semester or every year. Oh, it's the worst. Absolute worst.
Yeah, that is, buying a house, I imagine, is
Dad,
nice
can I borrow your truck? Which means, Dad,
there.
Can you help me? Yeah.
Yeah, just at least just having a house and knowing that you're there. Mm-hmm. The tough thing about it is, like, you get that apartment and you're like, ooh, I already know here in about a year, maybe two, we're going to do this all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just talking about college basketball, Tony Bennett abruptly retiring.
Yeah.
And I asked the question, like, who's like the preeminent face of college basketball? Because, you know, just to make the point that it feels like there's a great turnover in those kind of big names that we know of. And I did not bring up the man locally, Kelvin Sampson.
I think he's definitely up there.
Absolutely up there. Consistently good Houston Cougars basketball team. So definitely wanted to make sure I gave him his due. And someone mentioned when we were talking about the potential of Minute Maid Park no longer being named after Minute Maid.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything particular to this way, but people are saying that maybe that it seems like Coca-Cola has been okay with getting out of the contract if the Astros find someone for more money.
Yeah.
And pointing out that Daikon, who is the potential new name of this
rumored
naming partner for the Astros on that building, big manufacturing facility in Waller. So maybe a little bit.
First I heard of it was when I saw it online. To be honest, I guess I've driven by it a million times.
When was the last time you bought AC
from Daikon? Not from them. We got one a couple of years ago, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I guess you
did. Well,
that's
a hit. You talk about a bad day.
Yeah, that's a hoo boy. When you got to
need
a
new unit.
Oh. You got to pay for that new appliance because one just died on you. Yeah. The unexpected appliance purchase is crazy, bro.
Especially when it's $15,000.
Hey, yo.
God, yeah. Have you ever had to?
But I bet that thing moved units, though.
Oh, it did.
Your house get like a meat locker
it
in there.
It absolutely does. God bless that.
You should be good for at least another decade.
They say 15 years, 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Like
that's good. All right. I know where to go when it gets
paid
too hot.
Off by then.
I know where to go when it gets too hot. All right. Let's get into this. What's more likely to happen? Kind of a this or that type scenario as we find another way to kind of thought experiment what this game looks like for the Texans as they visit the Packers at Lambeau Field on a football Friday. And so, Lopez, take it away.
Yeah, you said thought experiment, and that's exactly how I do these. I like to do the more likely to happen when it's like, okay, how is this game really going to play out? How do I think this game is really going to play out? So you kind of ask these questions, and I'm asking them of you and our listeners.
713-572-4610.
Yes, because I think it kind of gives you a better picture of, okay, this is not going to be any cupcake, of a game, or I feel good about this game. I think it's going to happen. So let me go through a list of these things here. So which is more likely to happen? The Texans don't see a big dip in their defensive performance, given that, I guess, five defensive starters?
A lot of defensive starters.
Are going to be missing or likely to miss.
Aziz and Henry are not.
Lassiter.
Are out. Lassiter, Ward are probably not going to play. Mm-hmm. Who would be the fifth?
Choa.
I mentioned him.
Oh, you said. Oh, you said Henry.
Linebackers and then two defensive backs, and then
Mario Edwards is out. Yeah,
there we go. That's the one.
So which is more likely to happen? The Texans do not see a big dip in their defensive dominance, or the Packers do not create a turnover.
I think, funny enough, it might be the turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is just like the belief in the comfort that that CJ Stroud provides with protecting the football. And I think you're just the kind of lack or the the deficiency in some ways that the fill-in linebackers, the linebacker ups, as Cody Stutes has called them on Twitter. They're filling in the fact that they're not as good in coverage as at least Aziz is. I know Henry has some issues a little bit in coverage, but particularly also in the ways that the play action will be utilized by the Packers. I think that you're going to see a dip, and maybe it's not necessarily about the defensive production themselves, but because of the ways that I think the Packers might be best suited than anyone else that you've played thus far to kind of get at you.
This was a tough one for me. I kind of was wavering back and forth because I almost have to define big dip in their defensive line. I think there's going to be, you know, they're going to give up yards against this team, and they do have some deficiencies. But I'm with you ultimately. I think Joe Mixon really protects the ball, you know, and he's going to be getting a lot of carries. And I think C.J. Stroud is going to be very, very, you know, careful with the ball, although I don't want him to be too careful and kind of shut down his aggressiveness. But I think I'm with you that the Packers don't create a turnover is a slightly more likely than a big dip in the defensive dominance.
It feels funny because, like, that seems like that should be an easy one that, like, oh, yeah, that you're going to predict a turnover this week in the NFL.
They do it every week.
They have, like, two in every one of their games.
Yeah.
The last five games, if I remember correctly, three in most of those except for 2 weeks ago. So, like, this just keeps happening. And at some point, even things that are improbable, if they just keep happening to that degree, you're like, all right, well, I probably need to give more space that this isn't random.
No, it's not random. It's absolutely not random. All right, which one is more likely to happen? And this is going to give us a window into things. Jordan Love throws for more than 300 yards, or C.J. Stroud throws for more than 300 yards? It's a tough one for me.
I wanted to just be like, I'm going to say C.J., move it along. Yeah. But yeah, if I'm going to go C.J. I think that C.J. throw for 300 yards. Now, if you're just telling me C.J. 300 yards completely clean, that might be an interesting thing to examine. But I think that, there is a level of comfort that this team has had, especially for me. I have a level of comfort knowing that there's a lot more meat on the bone.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more room for them to get to. And I think that sometimes, especially if you have a concern that maybe they play to their competition, playing to their competition, this one could be great.
Yeah.
They have great competition here. And so this might be an opportunity for them to turn up. And if they do, that 300-yard game feels like it's well within reach.
Well, excuse me for saying this, but I think I'm going to say Jordan Love. I said this earlier.
You're not excused. 0 points for you.
I said this earlier. I'm not sure people really understand how good these wide receivers are and how good the young tight end is, how much they are already
of the Packers.
Packers, yeah. Yes, is. I think Jordan Love, and I'm saying, you know, shootout. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Doesn't mean the Texans are going to lose, but I think Jordan Love is going to be able to have some success. All right, how about this? More likely to happen.
Wait, before you move on, that 300 yards, that would probably come at the cost of not toting the rock nearly as well, right?
That's true, too. So it could easily be, you know, no harm, no foul, so to speak, ultimately. All right, so you pop a big run, good things happen. We saw it last week with the Texans. They popped two big runs. Who is more likely to have a run of more than 30 yards in this game? Josh Jacobs or Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon. That one I just feel good about. It just feels like Joe Mixon, the individual brilliance that he provides, plus I don't know how much I'm doing pseudoscience in this way. It just feels like less yards on him, right? He has not played in all these games, and he has been chomping at the bit to get himself back out here.
Yeah.
And immediately he gets back out here, boom, there he goes. I know that I was fawning over just the burst that he got to the line on in that big run.
And the speed.
Yeah, the speed. And you block it up well enough to give him just a little bit. He can get skinny and get upfield. Mm-hmm. And so I think that continually sits in my mind. Maybe that's just me being close to the Texans and having seen that and not necessarily looking as much at Josh Jacobs, because he has the fifth most explosive runs in the league. Like, that is something that he has in his bag for certain. I just feel better about Joe Mixon.
I'm with you. I think Joe Mixon is more likely to pop a 30-yard plus run. However, Josh Jacobs is the king of the 8 to 12. You know, he can go for 8 or 12 yards in, you know, consistently, pretty much on every drive. So it's not necessarily like he's going to be a chump here, but I think Mixon has the better chance. What about this one? C.J. Stroud gets sacked at least twice, or Jordan Love gets sacked at least twice? Another big, you know, moment in the game potentially.
I hate, and 713, Josh Jacobs is a beast, man. Absolutely 100%. I don't mean to denigrate him. I acknowledge I'm probably being a little bit of a homer there, and I'm quite okay with that one. This is where I will not be a homer. I think the C.J. Stroud has more likelihood to be sacked, and that sacks are typically because a quarterback stat in my mind, right? Like, are you able to get the ball out, or are you able to maneuver? And he has been incredible maneuvering. Like, it has been a beauty to watch him, like, manage the pocket, get out of the pocket, make throws on the run. I think this, for me, comes down to, and again, quarterback versus offensive line when talking about sack responsibility, put that aside in some ways. I'm still not fully sold on this offensive line compared to over there with the Packers. That is a top three offensive line by various metrics. And they have literally the second lowest sack percentage of anyone in the league. That does not happen much over there.
100%. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's all those things come back to maybe C.J. Stroud having the more likelihood. I don't think that he will.
Yeah, that's why we put it like that.
He handles himself very well, but I think that, probably.
Yeah, more. It might be two sacks, but he escapes four. You know, and still.
Oh, I don't like that. And then you have the man under pressure the whole time.
No, but he's known to be able to move around the pocket and create.
No, for sure. But just like the raw idea of like, oh yeah, he got sacked twice, but he avoided four. And I'm like, why is he having all these people on him?
Exactly.
Leave him alone.
This is a key one here. The Texans have a better special teams day, which entails everything. Or the Packers have a better special teams day.
Oh, this is a great point, and it immediately reminded me of the fact that I don't think I really looked at their like kind of return game. Mm-hmm. So that's I'll raise my hand. Mea culpa, please, because I did not consider that. But at least I'll go to the kicking game, and I will take Kaimi Fairbairn over 73-year-old Brandon McManus coming back off the bench, or coming back off the sofa.
I take the Texans as well. The Texans don't have a great return game, but I think.
In fact, are we certain we know who will return
exactly
this week? Because Robert Woods again did not practice today, so he remains. Likely to remain out for this game as well.
Yeah, and then the other part of that is. And I'm not trying to bash the guy, but I said this earlier on this week. I don't know how much I trust Tommy Townsend, and you know, short fields with Jordan Love is not good.
Oh man, that is. Yeah. I hope he has a standout performance.
I do too. I hope he shuts everybody up, and by everybody I mean me.
Exactly. I was like, hold on, are we just gonna say everybody like it's not you that we're talking about here?
Exactly. All right, here's another big one because it speaks to chipping away at the rock, as I often say. The Packers have at least two running backs with more than 50 yards rushing, or the Texans have at least two running backs with more than 50 yards rushing. To me, that's a big stat in this game. Like, if they're going to be able to just rotate guys in, which team has more success with their top two, top three guys?
I almost want to say neither, but maybe this goes back to, like, concerns when it comes to, who's what's the defensive line going to look like? Mm-hmm. I think that Neville Hewitt does a great job, but I mean, having both of them in there and not having Aziz on the field is really a big thing for me. For some reason, I feel like I'm leaning towards the Packers, even though I think it was very encouraging seeing Damian Pierce read his blocks well, particularly on outside zone, and make it a big play. And then even in addition to that, his talking on the podium and, you know, mentioning the idea, I mean, see smoke, you know, run through smoke and like taking that coaching point and executing it to a T and seeing results off of it, like that is encouraging. But I think I carry the baggage of all the weeks before and all those conversations, and maybe also the injuries to defense make me lean towards the Packers side of this.
I'm going to lean toward the Packers as well. Obviously, Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wright, they both have had more consistency as a tandem, but mostly because they've been on the field more.
And then I guess we can also go back to offensive lines again.
And offensive line. But this is one of those where I think Damian Pierce can prove a lot, you know, if he backs up last week's game with another good game. And certainly the Texans have confidence in him, as you know, they were willing to move on from Cam Akers earlier in the week. All right, last one, another key element that maybe gives us a kind of a window into how we think this game might turn out. Who has more than three catches? Dalton Schultz or Tucker?
Oh, man. I almost want to go just because of the volume of pass catchers. I don't know why I put the emphasis there. That was really weird.
Pass catchers?
Yeah, really weird. But when the number of pass catchers, I think of prominent pass catchers for your Texans as being three.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon, Tank, Dalton.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in that? Am I missing?
We'll see what Xavier Hutchinson does, but the top three are those three.
Compared to the Packers that have, they have Christian Watson, they have Romeo Dobbs, they have Jaden Reed.
Jaden Reed is the guy really to watch. And Tucker Kraft.
Maybe just having all four of them and knowing that they're going to spread the ball around, maybe that makes that a little bit less. So I go with Dalton Schultz then.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you also add in CJ continues to speak glowingly, and they know that they would like to see him get going in a better way. Bobby spoke about that, in fact, yesterday, of like, you know, trying him having that uptick. So I do wonder, especially as Joe Mixon has talked about it this week, and we've talked about it a lot, the players have. about how Bobby is good at making sure that everybody gets involved. I do wonder if, especially with the drop and some of the things, that if they intentionally get Dalton Schultz going.
I'm going to say Tucker Kraft, but I feel like there's going to be a concerted effort to get Dalton Schultz involved.
832 agrees with you, Tucker, because of the linebackers.
That's part of it.
Coverage in the linebacker.
That's absolutely part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's good. I mean, he's really come on.
He is. We probably should have taken notes on which ones we flipped one way or the other.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping notes in my head. And so where do we land on this? Because, okay, so dip in the defensive performance, we both agreed versus the turnover the Packers, you know, maybe don't. Yep. Jordan Love or CJ over 300?
CJ.
I had Jordan Love. Jacobs for popping a run, we both said Mixon. CJ Stroud gets sacked more than twice, or Jordan Love gets sacked more than twice. We both took Stroud. This is not stacking up so well. We need a comeback here. Texans have the better special teams day, or the Packers. I think Texans is where we landed. Packers have at least two running backs with 50 or more yards, or the Texans. We were split on that one, I believe. I said Packers. Did you say Packers?
I went Packers as well.
Okay, so it's kind of leaning that way, and then we're split on Dalton Schultz three or more versus Tucker Kraft three or more. So kind of speaks to like a little bit of an edge for the Packers here.
But not this isn't the end all be all. Even more speaks to is going to be an interesting game.
It's going to be a fun game.
It's going to be a challenging game. But I think the big thing is it feels like the Texans are up for that challenge.
Yeah.
Next man up and all included. All right. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about time for our lunchtime confessions, which we will do next on Sports Radio 610.